Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World, was recorded at our 2010 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
They were walking by faith, and to prove that, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, the first thing that happened after they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it says that their eyes of them both were opened and that they knew that they were naked. They had never noticed they were naked before. And some people say, well, they were clothed with the glory of God. They had a robe of righteousness over them. And they spiritualize it. But if you'll go back to the last verse, I think it's Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, it says, they were both naked, the man and his wife. You can make analogies and you can say they were clothed with the glory of God for the purposes of illustration, but the truth is they were both but naked. Amen. They did not have any clothes on. Adam and Eve were naked for days, weeks, months, years, and never noticed that they were naked. And when they ate of the tree, all of a sudden their eyes were open and they saw that they were naked. How could you not know you were naked? You know how? They were walking by faith and not by sight. They had five senses because when they were tempted and told about the tree, all of a sudden they started looking at it. They had eyes, but they weren't walking by sight. They were walking by faith. If you're still in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, which I'm headed that way if I can talk quick enough, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's the way that we as believers are supposed to walk, where faith is controlling us, faith is dominating us, and not our physical eyesight. And that's the way that God created Adam and Eve to be. They were walking so much by faith that they didn't even notice whether they were clothed or whether the other person was clothed or not. They were so God conscious. They were seeing with their heart that they didn't even notice each other in the flesh. Most of you are sitting here just thinking, I can't relate. I can't understand. But this is where God created us to be. Are you still in 2 Corinthians? Chapter 5, verse 16. Look at this. He says, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. You know what this is talking about? Paul is saying that there was a time that they knew Christ in the physical. They knew what he looked like. They knew how tall he was. They knew what color his hair was. They knew how big his nose was, what color his eyes were. They knew him by the flesh. He says there was a time we knew him in the flesh, but we don't know him that way anymore. You know, John, the person who wrote the book of John, one of the apostles, at the Last Supper, he laid his head over on Jesus' chest. They didn't sit at chairs around tables the way we did. They had a real low table and they had pillows and they reclined on them. And John and Jesus loved each other so much that as they were eating supper, John just put his head over on Jesus' chest and leaned on him. Nothing wrong with that. It was just affection. It was the kind of love that Jesus had among his disciples. Did you know that Jesus didn't change one bit? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, the same man, John, saw Jesus now in his glorified body and saw him with his hair as white as snow and his eyes like flame of fire and his feet were like polished brass. And when he spoke, it was like Niagara Falls. It was the sound of many waters. And it was so majestic and awesome that the same man who had put his head over on Jesus' chest when he was wrapped in a physical body that kept him from seeing who Jesus really was, the same man who had been that familiar with him, now when he saw him in his glory, fell at his feet as if he was dead. He nearly died of a heart attack. God had to strengthen him. Jesus didn't change. The only thing that happened was John's perception of who Jesus was changed. And you know what? Jesus was the same. When Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, And all of a sudden, he began to radiate light. It became so bright, it said that you couldn't even look at it. Did you know all that happened was this physical body was like a veil, a curtain that Jesus wore around him, and people knew him in the flesh. They could see his flesh, and it kept people from being afraid and overwhelmed by him. But Jesus was God on the inside. And when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, it's just like they drew that curtain back for a moment so that he could fellowship with his Father the way he really was. And when his disciples looked, he was radiating light like the sun. That's the way that he always was, but that veil was over that kept people from seeing it. Did you know when God originally created us, we could see that glory? We could see with our heart. We could perceive what was going on in the Spirit. Men walked by faith and not by sight, and they were so God-conscious that they never even looked at themselves. Not because they didn't have the capability. They were just so occupied by God that they had never even noticed whether they had clothes. And the moment that they sinned and that life of God was cut off, their spiritual eyes closed. And it says in Genesis 3:7, their eyes were open. Do you think that Adam and Eve had been walking around with their eyes closed for weeks, months, years? No, their eyes had been open. But their spiritual sight, faith, was so dominant, it was like they weren't seeing with their eyes, they were seeing with their heart. When it says that they saw the Lord, when they heard the voice of the Lord, now this is a little bit of liberty on my part, but I've studied this, and I don't think that they saw him with their physical eyes. I don't believe that they heard him with their physical ears. I believe that they were hearing him with faith, the same way that we can hear God. They were in tune. That God was what they heard, the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the midst, in the cool of the evening. They were doing this all by faith. You have ears on the inside. This is what Jesus said when he says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Every person in the group had physical ears, but he says, if you can hear with your heart, then listen to what I'm saying. Adam and Eve were able to see into the spiritual realm with their heart. They were able to hear things, God speaking to them with their heart. This is the way that God created them. And when they ate of this tree and sinned, their spiritual eyesight and hearing quit, and they were left to nothing but their five senses, which is the way most of us have thought that's the only way we can live. And if we can't see it, taste it, hear it, smell it, or feel it, it doesn't exist. And so we come into a problem about the Bible says we're healed. And so we pray and get prayer, but then we run immediately to get a test and see if we were really healed. We think that nothing happens until it's manifest in the flesh. And yet the Scripture shows us that there's all kinds of things happening in the spiritual realm. Again, for time's sake, I'm talking as fast as I can. I'm not going to take time to turn over there and read it, but in 2 Kings chapter 6, there's an example of Elisha, the prophet, who is telling the king of Israel all of the plans of the king of Syria. They were at war with each other, and every time the king of Syria would invade the nation of Israel, Elisha would tell the king about it, and the king would go and ambush the king of Syria's ambush. And this happened so many times that finally the king of Syria says, well, somebody here's a traitor. Somebody has to be giving the king of Israel my battle plans. And one of his servants says, it's not any of us, it's Elisha, the prophet of God. He tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber. And man, the king was just shocked. So he sent his armies down to Dothan where Elisha was. And when Elisha's servant got up in the morning, he went out and stood on the walls of the city and he looked, and the city was completely surrounded by the Syrians. And so he ran to Elisha and he said, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" He knew that they had been giving away the battle plans. He knew that somebody had to have found out what was going on. And this servant knew that Elisha and him were in big trouble. Amen. And so he says, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" Which is old English for he panicked. And here's the way that Elisha responded. Have you got that up there? He answered, he says, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Now, you know, this is a great example because there's a lot of people that when you say, "In the name of Jesus, I'm healed," You got a lot of people that'll say, oh yeah, this is one of those name it, claim it, blab it, grab it guys. They just say that it's so when it's really not so. And if you'll say that it's so long enough, maybe it'll become so. That's what people think faith is. That's not faith. Faith is not faking it until you make it. That's what a lot of people think faith is. But what faith is perceiving that there is more to reality than this physical realm. If all you think is real is this physical realm, then Elisha lied. Because he said there's more with us than there are with them. And if all you do is check the physical realm, then he lied. Because you could count the Syrians by 1,000, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, and then you look over and go, 1, 2. If all you're doing is looking in the natural realm, Elisha lied. And this is what a lot of people think that faith people are when they say, I'm healed, and anybody can tell by looking at you that you're sick. And they think, well, you're a liar. You're just lying and hoping that it'll become real. And that's what a lot of people think faith is. And it would be a lie if all that's real is what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. And this is what our world thinks today. Our scientific community, our enlightened, sophisticated age believes that if you can't prove it in a test tube, then it doesn't exist. I've heard people before on a talk show call in and start talking about God or something. And I've heard the talk show host say, now, hey, we aren't having any of that. We're only dealing with reality, no opinions, no anything. And they think that if you can't prove it in a test tube, it doesn't exist. Let me just be as polite as I can be about that, that is ignorance gone to seed.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1065C for CD or R3209D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The 5th CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RHT27 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.
Once again, I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of what we call the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is actually my footnotes on over 9,000 verses in the Bible. It's in a Bible program. You get three versions of the Bible with that. You get 4 Bible dictionaries and commentaries, and mine is one of them. And the reason we call it a living commentary is because as I write footnotes every month, there are updates available. We have a sample of this on our website, so I'd like to direct you to that. You could actually check it out and see, and you could sign up right online. But check out the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you.